Wrestling Radio. VGLosers.com. You press your luck up against this body. Now you're stuck, but you're lying down and dirty. You don't care where you're going. Anywhere is better than I'm going. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better than. Anywhere is better than here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio here on VGLosers.com, and tonight we are talking about Monday Night Raw, and I have to actually send out an apology to my buddy Political Agenda out there. I actually bailed on him. He should have been on this podcast again this week, and last night I sent him a text message and said I can't do it. I said I'm going to sleep. I'm beat up from being around all the family for the holiday weekend, and so here I am recording the podcast all alone Tuesday morning because I could not stay awake. I could not stay up. And to my credit, Raw did not help. Raw was not there to excite me and keep me awake. Before we jump into Raw, though, just wanted to say a few news and notes. The Hulk Hogan Hulkamania tour of Australia has ended. His matches with Ric Flair, not the classics people were hoping for. Most people said it was a fun little nostalgia tour. The match kind of worked in that fun, like, hey, look at that guy go, type way, but nothing that will ever work again. If this is Hulk Hogan's final tour in the ring, it did not happen in the United States. He can claim in 10 years that it didn't actually happen, and, it'll mostly be forgotten. The main event match, they did four shows, basically. Nobody cared about the undercard. None of those matches, the Bruce Beefcake matches, were apparently the worst matches people had seen in a long time, which is not surprising. But the main event matches of Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan basically had everybody more or less in the show did a run-in at some point. Hogan was so, you know, he's so old, he's so beat up, he cannot work anymore. So they just had, you know, they would start the match and somebody would run in and they'd get attacked, and then somebody would run in after them and somebody would run in to stop the guy who ran in spot number two, and, you know, just on and on and on and on and on and on through the whole show. So, not good. All right, Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw opened with a segment. They had Jericho, they had DX, they were basically talking about their match, the pay-per-view. DX talked about how great a tag team they are, and so Jericho came out and said, you're really not that good. You've never been tag team champions. You know, it was Road Dogg, Jesse James, and Mr. Ass, who were the tag team champions, not these guys. So they've been together for, like, I don't know, I think he said 17 years or something. He threw out some goofy number, and so they've never won the tag team championship, whereas these guys, you know, Big Show, Jericho, their first night out, they were tag team champions. Which, their first night together, they were tag team champions. Because Edge and Jericho were tag team champions. Edge got injured, and Jericho handed the title to Big Show. So their first night together, yes, they were champions. They didn't win their championship first time together, but, you know, that's, I guess, another story. He said that there were 42 championships between them. Jericho was, of course, the first ever unified champion. Big Show was the only man in history to hold the WWE, WCW, and ECW titles. They could not be beaten by Kane and Undertaker. They're going to put DX in a coma. This promo, oh my gosh, this promo took about 4.5 hours. But amazingly enough, there was a time warp, and it ended after about 17 minutes, I think, something like that. But seriously, like, it went on forever. if this was on a pay-per-view, that would have eaten up all the time in your main event. You would have had Undertaker versus CM Punk in 30 seconds, not because they were mad at CM Punk, but because they were just out of time. Because this just went on and on and on. The good thing you got out of this is that you found out for sure that the tag team championships are worthless. Basically, you know, Jericho is going on and on about how he and Big Show are the tag team champions and unified tag team champions, and Triple H just basically says, you guys are the champions and no one cares about you. So basically he's just saying that the championships don't matter. Triple H apparently made some comment, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, saying something about how he wanted to be WWE champion. He didn't care about the Intercontinental champion. He didn't care about the tag team championships. And he's lived up to that. He really doesn't give a crap about any of those belts. And this storyline is not about the belts. Anyway, they basically set it up where it was going to be Triple H versus Jericho tonight in a match. If Jericho won, it'd be Triple H versus Jericho in a handicap match. If Triple H won, it'd be Jericho versus DX in a handicap match next week. So I'm not exactly sure where that storyline is going to go. I don't know. It's really hard to say what that could possibly lead to that's of any consequence leading into their pay-per-view match, but sure enough, that's what they did, so battle for handicap match spot is what you're looking at tonight. They had Melina and Gail Kim versus Maryse and Jillian. They interviewed Maryse on her way to the ring, and she spoke some language that was supposed to be English that really wasn't and came off so terrible. Basically, the storyline was Maryse didn't want to get into the ring with Melina because the two of them were going to have a match at the pay-per-view. But, you know, eventually they basically let Maryse get the pin and hit Melina with the DDT, got the pin. So after the match, they had Gail Kim grab Melina and kind of, pull her out of the ring so that the heels could celebrate. And Maryse kind of fell over. And Jillian, like, helped her back up and kind of helped her out of the ring, and then they celebrated on their way out. But it really came off like that wasn't supposed to happen. Either Maryse, from doing whatever move, just decided that she was going to sell it like she had this head injury and faint and played off that, and Jillian knew nothing about it, and so Jillian was kind of freaking out a little bit, or Maryse legitimately passed out for, you know, fainted, got lightheaded, whatever. I don't know. And I don't know if maybe, you know, like I said, I don't know if I'm just reading too much into it. She just decided to kind of throw something in there at the last minute, or she tripped and just kind of fell with it, or what the deal is. But something happened there that was odd. It'd be something to look forward to. Sheamus basically came out and said Cena needs to take him seriously. He's going to do whatever it takes to win the WWE title. But he could beat him up, he could make him submit, he could do whatever, but this is a tables match, so it's going to be easy. All he has to do is put him through a table. And he demands that Cena take him seriously as a contender, which is why he booted him in the face last week when Jesse Ventura was there. So, that added something to their angle, but I still don't think it's any buys. I don't think anyone's going to buy the pay-per-view to see Sheamus, but regardless, that's what happened. Santino came out and, just basically was making fun of him and talking about how he's a two-time Intercontinental Champion and, he's got a better history in the ring than Sheamus does, and yet, Sheamus thinks he's his badass, but really he started to say he's a lame ass. And that, of course, made Sheamus boot him and attack him and beat the crap out of him. And that was it. So, I mean, it was fine for what they did, but it just kind of, once you knew Santino was coming out, it's like, oh, well, Santino's getting a beat down because there's no way they're going to have Santino get something over on this big guy who's getting ready to have a title shot with John Cena at the next show. So, I mean, you knew it was coming, but at least they had some fun stuff with it. So, anyway. They showed Jericho and Big Show backstage. They ran into Vern Troyer. They actually did a shot where they showed Big Show and Vern Troyer standing side by side. Vern Troyer's talking on his cell phone, and Big Show looks down at him. And you know Vern Troyer is small. I mean, you've seen the Austin Powers movie. He's a short guy. He's a tiny little guy. But you put him next to the Big Show, and oh my gosh. You know, Big Show's so big, and he is so small. So Big Show wanted to shake his hand, and Vern Troyer was like, you know, hey, and shook his hand, was happy to see him, and Jericho tried to introduce himself, and he blew him off. So, funny, I guess, that he likes the really big guy, but not the regular guy, but whatever. They came back from commercial, and Troyer was on stage. He was sitting on this stool that was like 4 feet tall, and they had him just kind of perched on top, looking like a ventriloquist puppet, and he came across as really a nice guy. I mean, I know he does a lot of, he's had a reality show, and he's been in a lot of tabloids and whatever for some of the goofy stuff he does with his life. He's a drunk and a womanizer, amazingly enough, you know, they just had him sitting out there, grabbed a microphone, talked about his buddy Seth Green, who had been on the show as the host, and looked like fun, and he wanted to be there, and he said he was at SummerSlam, and everyone was so nice, except for one really annoying guy, The Miz. So The Miz came out, and did a bunch of Austin Powers jokes, which would have been funny about 8 years ago. Troyer just basically said, you know, he's a bigger star. He's done better movies, or he's just done movies. I don't think Miz has ever been in a movie. I don't know. But he's a bigger star, and at SummerSlam, he proved that he was better with the ladies, because there was some deal with The Miz at SummerSlam. I think it was with, was it with Maryse? He kept trying to do a hit on her, but anyway. Miz wanted to have a match with the midget, and or the little person, or the leprechaun, whatever, I don't remember. And so, instead, Mark Henry came out, and Miz made some more lame Austin Powers jokes, and basically Troyer said it was going to be the Miz versus Mark Henry later tonight. And there you go. They had Kofi Kingston come out, and as he's walking down to the ring, he's supposed to be in a match with Randy Orton tonight. Randy Orton attacks him in the entryway and beats the crap out of him. And runs backstage, and the referee's like, okay, well, we're calling off the match. And Kofi's like, no, I'm going to go to the ring. I'm gonna wrestle. So Kofi keeps making his way down to the ring, and he climbs in the ring, and Ted DiBiase jumps out and attacks him. And so the referee's like, okay, well, let's carry you to the back. And Kofi's like, no, I'm going to have this match with Randy Orton. So Randy Orton comes out, and basically fought him for about 2 minutes, hit the RKO, got the pin. And I understand that this is an angle. Like, you know, Randy Orton can now run around and say he beat Kofi. Kofi's no big deal. But really, you know, Legacy beat the crap out of him beforehand, and so it wasn't really a fair match. Yada, yada, yada. But this is the first match between Randy Orton and Kofi as part of their feud. It shouldn't have gotten to the ring. You know, they advertise they're going to have a match. Kofi comes down, gets beat up by Legacy. Randy Orton comes down, maybe attacks him before the bell. So it doesn't actually count as a match. But, the problem is here that doing an angle like that as opposed to this first match, WWE is trying to push that matches don't matter. Wins and losses don't matter. They're not important. They want to get that across to people because they think it's more important to have storylines than to actually have matches. It's more important to have guys in the ring going at it than for them to prove that one is actually better than the other and have any sort of win-loss record. Which is funny because the new Evolve promotion is starting up to prove that wins and losses do matter. But regardless, Perhaps that's why they're doing it. But they did it when they gave away Undertaker Jericho, and they did it here, giving away Kofi and Orton. Again, I understand it's an angle. It's not a real match. In most people's eyes, it's not going to matter, but it should. It should that this is their first match. They just gave it away for free, and they did this lame thing on it. But anyway, Randy Orton hit the draping DDT off the ropes after the win, and there you go. So I don't know if they're going to play up Kofi's injury next week as they head into the pay-per-view, what the deal is, but you have that to look forward to. They did this segment backstage with Mini-Me sitting there playing video games with MVP, and Mark Henry's pacing back and forth, and he's getting pumped up for his match, and Jillian comes in and wants to sing, and they won't let her sing, but MVP says something about Mark Henry being a good dancer, and so he really wants to show how good of a dancer Mark Henry is. So tells Jillian to sing. And so Jillian starts singing, and so Mark Henry starts dancing, and Jillian, of course, is singing the worst song in the history of mankind, and Mark Henry is doing the worst dance ever in the history of mankind. And then Mark Henry, he tripped, or he stumbled, or he did something, but he basically fell on Jillian and killed her. And they referred to this as the day the music died, so I don't know if that means Jillian is being released, or if, you know, just adding to the joke of her being squashed by this super huge fat guy, but he killed her. I dare say that for a worked spot, that's probably one of the, that's going to be the sorest she's going to be the next morning. You know, unless you spent the night in Mark Henry's hotel room. Wah, boom! Did I go there? I did. Sorry. I just amuse myself sometimes because I figure there's like four people listening actually to this podcast. Four people who actually pay attention. So I'm going to throw that out there and see if anyone reacts to it. But there's your zinger. They had John Cena get in the ring, and he was mad, and it was time for him to cut his, you know, Sheamus demanded that he be taken seriously, so he said, now's the time to get serious. He is serious about Sheamus, and he wants to face Sheamus now, and if Sheamus beats him, that's fine. He'll ask for his rematch at the pay-per-view. So basically, John Cena is so mad, he's willing to put his title on the line tonight. Again, trying to sell the pay-per-view, which nobody cares about. You know, the pay-per-views, it's going to be sold primarily on DX versus Jericho. That's the match that's got to really push the pay-per-view. And, you know, right now, I don't know if that's going to do it. But instead of Sheamus coming out, we got Carlito. And Carlito shaved his goatee, so he looks to be about 12 years old. And Carlito just basically said the guys in the locker room are tired of, you know, John Cena always being on top. They want their chance to come out here and shine, and so they want matches. And, you know, so John Cena grabs Carlito and, you know, throws him in the ropes, hits the attitude adjustment, and that's the end of Carlito. Sheamus comes out of the ring and teases like he's going to walk out to the ring, but instead he turns and leaves. So, same thing that happened with Batista last week. Interesting. Go to commercial, come back. We've got Mini-Me sitting on the stage again in his 4-foot-tall stool. He brings out MVP and Mark Henry. And MVP gives Mark Henry this introduction. And basically says that he's a great rapper. And tonight we're going to listen to him do his rap. And gives the mic to Mark Henry, and Mark Henry starts doing this little clap and this little dance. Okay. Santino did a rap one time. And it was not good, but it was funny because it was not supposed to be good, so you could laugh at it for how terrible it was. This was just terrible, and it was so terrible that it made me want to stick pencils in my ears and hit them with hammers until the world went silent. This was like one of the worst rap songs. If I can find the lyrics, maybe I'll perform it sometime. If someone wants to transcribe out the lyrics to that rap song, maybe I'll cover it. But it was terrible. So anyway, they go to another commercial. They come back. It's Mark Henry versus The Miz. They wrestled for, I don't know, 3 minutes. Mark Henry caught Miz on a high cross body and turned it into the world's strongest slam, got the pin. And Vern Troyer said, that's a way to celebrate, celebrating in the ring, whatever. But the reason why I'm here is to celebrate with the ladies. And so out came the Bella Twins, and out came out Kelly, and out came out Eve. And they all started doing their really bad dance on the stage. So for those of you who, wanted to see the ladies do their dance, there it is. At least they didn't have a match, so that's something to be thankful for. They showed DX backstage, and Triple H said he had this dream last week that that this little man had given them a summons to appear in Little People's Court this week, and Sean said, that's crazy. I had the same dream. Hornswoggle walks up in a suit, and he starts talking gibberish, and they put subtitles underneath, saying that those guys were in big trouble, they blew him off, they were supposed to be in Little People Court, and Shawn Michaels said he can speak leprechaun now, so it's no big deal, and tells him to back off or whatever, and they leave, and Mini-Me pulls up on his little scooter, and tells Hornswoggle to basically sue them for all they're worth. So, for those of you wondering, yes, DX was given a summons last week to appear in Little People Court. Yes, WWE has spent the last week bringing in a whole bunch of midgets to do this Little People's Court segment. Yes, they went downtown somewhere over the weekend and filmed a segment in a courtroom with DX and all of these midgets and Hornswoggle. And yes, they decided not to air it, and instead blew it off and did this segment, where they're teasing that they may do something with it next week. So there you go. I have no idea what's going on now, but I'm perfectly happy with them not doing the segment at all. Maybe it's something they'll tease for a long time and eventually come back to. Maybe they'll air the segment next week on Raw. Who knows? They taped SmackDown yesterday, or not yesterday, on Sunday, and after Raw, everybody basically got on a plane and went to go do Christmas with the troops, whatever that show is, and so maybe they're just thinking that the guys are going to come back next week, and they're going to be tired and worn out from all the travel, and so the segment will be on there in order to fill time. Perhaps, I don't know, but they did not do it here, and that at least made me a little bit happy. Although I'm sorry, Homie King, I know you were anxiously anticipating watching an entire segment full of 30 midgets, but maybe you'll get it next week. They had DX come out to the ring. HBK sat down to do commentary. It's going to be Triple H versus Jericho. Jericho comes out by himself. The two of them start wrestling for a minute, and then Big Show's music comes out. Big Show basically sat on the other side of the commentary table and put on a headset. And, it was funny because several weeks ago when they put... they were doing Cena versus DX. They put DX on commentary, and the guys just cracked jokes, and they were stupid until somebody yelled at them, and then they kind of started talking about the match. And then Cena came out the next week, did commentary, and he was 100% into the match and sold the match like a champ. This time, they got Michaels and Big Show actually talking about the match that's going on in the ring and talking about what was going to be happening at the pay-per-view. So it played in really well this time, and so I was more happy about that. But basically, they had Jericho and Triple H doing a bunch of near falls, and Big Show gets up, and let's see what happens. Sean is getting to the ring, and basically there to egg on Triple H, and Big Show just slams his head into the mat, and Triple H kind of comes over to see what's going on, and he hits Triple H with the knockout punch, and referee turns around and takes a look and sees Big Show standing at ringside and sees Triple H knocked down and says something must have happened, so he ejects Big Show from ringside. And Big Show, that's fine, whatever. And while the referee is ejecting Big Show from ringside, Shawn Michaels slips into the ring and hits Jericho with the Sweet Chin Music. And the referee catches Shawn Michaels on the apron and ejects him from ringside. And so Triple H and Jericho have both been hit by finishers. And so they try to stumble to get back up to their feet. And basically, they both get up about 9. The referee decides that they're up and is going to let the match continue. Although, to be quite honest, they were not up. Any other time, the referee would have said, yeah, it's close, but you guys aren't up, it's over, count out. You know, that's an angle I actually expected to happen, is for the ref to just call it. But instead, they continued, and they did a couple more near falls, and then Hunter just basically hit the cradle, got the pin. And so you're going to have two faces, DX versus Jericho, in a handicap match. And Shawn Michaels just basically promised that this is going to be Jericho's last night on Raw, because, of course, Jericho is a SmackDown guy, and Big Show is the Raw guy, and that's why they're on both shows as the Unified Tag Champions. If they can get... excuse me. If they can beat... if DX can beat Jericho at the pay-per-view, then that's the end of Chris Jericho being on Raw. Going into next week's Raw with DX versus Jericho in a handicap match, I expect Big Show to still somehow get involved and for it to break down and for it to not be the big handicap match that people are expecting it to be, because there's nothing really to do there. Two faces versus one heel is not a good handicap match. Two heels versus one face is a good handicap match because it puts your face in jeopardy. You put your heel in jeopardy against two faces leading up to a pay-per-view match. Nobody cares. That's no buys. You have to put your faces somehow in jeopardy. If you had a match at a pay-per-view with the stipulation that the next night the faces were going to beat up on the heel, that's fine. That sells your pay-per-view. I just hit puberty and my voice cracked. I don't know. This just doesn't make sense to me, other than the fact that maybe Triple H and Shawn Michaels want to goof around and they have to do something different for the sake of doing something different. So we'll see how it goes. But next week is Mark Cuban as the... guest host. They talked about him owning the Dallas Mavericks. They did not mention that he owns HDNet, where ROH airs. I still wonder if they're going to do some sort of... I would think that he's going to have to show up, and Bryan Danielson's going to have to make an appearance, or, you know, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to do some way of... just they have to mention that fact, because Bryan Danielson, you know, ROH, had a long history, ROH, and then he left... he signed a developmental deal with WWE, so the only thing I can think of is they're going to have to find some way to have Cuban set up a match where he's going to say, you know, maybe Big Show gets involved in the match with DX, so it is a handicap match, so it's not a handicap match. Big Show gets involved. And so Cuban's going to come out and say, okay, we need to make this a real handicap match. So I'm going to put in a former world champion, and he'll bring out Bryan Danielson. Danielson would join DX. So it'd be 3-on-2, and then maybe he'll swerve them and turn heel. Maybe. I don't know. That'd be interesting. I don't know if it'll happen, but... All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for today. I want to thank you for listening. Don't forget, we do plenty of other podcasts here. We do the weigh-in. We do fantasy football sports talk. We've got It Figures. We have Chris Vent, who's now... His show is now part of our network here. Masters of the Universe. Everything Masters of the Universe and interviews and whatnot, so... anyway, make sure you check it all out. Plenty of podcasts. There's been some confusion about iTunes. How do you find us in iTunes? All our podcasts. Do a search for VG Losers, and you'll find all of our podcasts, including the It Figures and whatnot. you're supposed to be able to do a search for thatnewtoysmell.com, all one word, thatnewtoysmell.com, and you should be able to find it, but for some reason it's not showing up. You should be able to do a search for That New Toy Smell as a series of words. You should be able to search for Wrestling Radio. You should be able to search for It Figures. But for some reason, iTunes is not picking up those keywords, and I'm not sure what the problem is. I hate iTunes. I hate Apple, I hate their computers, I hate their software, I hate everything about them, and yet, you know, we've got two Apple computers in our house, but one of them is running Linux. But, you know, iTunes does not work like it's supposed to. It's supposed to be great because it's so simple, and for the user it's so simple, but for people like me who are trying to deal with iTunes, iTunes is the biggest pain in the butt to deal with, but... If you want to find us on iTunes, search for VG Losers or VGLosers.com. That's going to be the easiest way to find it. But thanks, guys, for listening. We'll talk to you Friday with our early look at Friday Night SmackDown. Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest at this time...
To the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with
hell. Yes,
I'm stuck in the middle with
hell,
and I'm wondering what it is I should
do.
It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. I'm losing control, yeah.